some state Supreme Court justices voiced skepticism yesterday about a ruling banning most absentee ballot drop boxes in Wisconsin. It's Tuesday, May 14th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, former Representative Mike Gallagher has a new job in venture capital. Joe Schultz has those details. And after more than three decades, Madison police have identified the skeletal remains of a man who had come to be known as Chimney Doe. Stay with us.
Politics, environment, trade, you know what's going on in Wisconsin thanks to the Wisconsin Today podcast. And thanks to you, these stories are available to Wisconsinites everywhere. Give now at WPR.org/givewitoday.
Liberal justices expressed skepticism yesterday about a ruling from the Wisconsin Supreme Court's former conservative majority banning most absentee ballot drop boxes in the state. Rich Kramer reports the case could have big implications in what's expected to be a tight presidential race this November.
Justices heard oral arguments in a lawsuit challenging a decision from 2 years ago, which declared drop boxes aren't allowed because state law doesn't specifically mention them. The court's new liberal majority is being asked to overturn the 2022 ruling. An attorney representing the Republican-controlled state legislature urged the court not to undo past precedent, but liberal Justice Jill Karofsky said the U.S. Supreme Court did that when it overturned federal abortion protections.
What if we just got it wrong? What if we made a mistake? Are we now supposed to just perpetuate that mistake into the future?
Liberal justices also noted Republican legislators were for drop boxes in 2020 before they were against them. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
State Senate Republicans announced yesterday that they will attempt to override some of Governor Tony Evers' vetoes from this session. That's expected to include his override of a bill directing how to spend $125 million to fight PFAS and $15 million for hospitals in the Chippewa Valley region. State Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green blamed Evers for holding up the funds.
This is our chance to get this money out the door. It's not our goal to have this money sitting here in Madison. We want that money out the door helping our communities.
Republicans have a two-thirds majority in the Senate, which is enough to override a veto without help from Democrats. They're just shy of that margin in the state assembly. Moments after Republicans unveiled their override plans, Evers announced that he is suing the legislature over holding up literacy funding. The governor says Republican lawmakers are to blame for the impasse on that issue, among others. The pro-Palestinian encampment at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee will end this week. That's after protesters reached a deal with the university on Sunday ahead of graduation ceremonies this weekend. Students set up the encampment 2 weeks ago to protest the war in Gaza. They called on the university to divest from all Israeli institutions. The agreement with the university said student representatives will meet with the UWM Foundation today to discuss those demands. Amin Atta is a member of the UWM Popular University for Palestine Coalition.
It's a resounding victory for the overall student movement locally and nationally. I think it's a testament to when students come together, when the power of the people come together, that change can happen.
The deal says students will have to leave the encampment by this morning. They also pledge not to interfere with this weekend's graduation ceremonies. A similar agreement was reached Friday with protesters at UW-Madison. Former Congressman Mike Gallagher has a new job less than a month after leaving Washington. As Joe Schultz reports, Titletown Tech announced yesterday that he's been hired as a senior advisor.
Officials say it's not necessarily a full-time position, but the former congressman will be a highly integrated part of Titletown Tech. The venture capital firm will use Gallagher's expertise in foreign and tech policy. He will help identify investment opportunities to boost the region's economy and support national security. Craig Dickman is the firm's managing partner. He says they're excited to welcome Gallagher.
Creating that linkage to keep him, actively working and engaged in this community is really valuable.
Forbes reported in March that Gallagher was planning to take a job with an American surveillance company and defense contractor. Dickman couldn't comment on Gallagher's plans outside Titletown Tech. The former congressman was not available for an interview. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
After more than three decades, Madison police have identified the skeletal remains of a man who had come to be known as Chimney Doe. the owner of a Madison music shop, spotted a skull and a chimney in 1989 while working on renovations. But the skeleton's identity remained a mystery until yesterday, when police announced that his name was Ronnie Joe Kirk. Madison police say they still don't know exactly how or when Kirk died. Chief Sean Barnes is now asking the public for tips.
Someone will remember him, and we'll do everything that we can to try to trace down if he worked here, if he lived here, if he was just passing through or going somewhere else. We don't know.
The department partnered with a nonprofit called the DNA Doe Project to identify Kirk. Investigators say the discovery was made possible by a new technique for extracting genetic material from hair samples. Coming up, home health care and child daycare are both in the top 10 industries with the largest number of working Medicaid enrollees. WPR's Bridget Bowden takes a look at how people across caregiving professions are looking for solutions from elected officials. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, this election year, WPR is asking people what elected officials could do to improve their communities. One audience member said expanding Medicaid is a top issue for her because she believes it will help people with disabilities find and keep support workers. As Bridget Bowden reports, people across caregiving professions are looking for solutions to healthcare accessibility and affordability.
Corrine Hendrickson runs a daycare out of her home in New Glarus. On a recent Friday morning, she's helping a student clean up toys.
Can you put the rocks in the bucket?
Corrine, I need to clean your hair.
Yep, the rocks, just the rocks.
The childcare industry is in crisis, she says, and one piece of that is healthcare. She says it's extremely rare for childcare providers to get health insurance through their employer. She gets hers from her husband's job.
And so in my industry, there's a lot of us in family child care especially, we don't have health insurance if our spouse doesn't have health insurance. Some of us are locked into marriages because we need that health insurance.
She says some find plans on the state's health insurance marketplace, and others get coverage through Medicaid. Beth Swedeen is executive director for the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities.
Many people who are caregivers are reliant on government programs themselves because they are really the working poor.
According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, home health care and child daycare are both in the top 10 industries with the largest number of working Medicaid enrollees. To qualify for Wisconsin's largest Medicaid program, known as Badger Care Plus, you have to earn at or below the federal poverty line, which is about $1,200 a month for a one-person household. Swedeen says that's an issue for some caregivers.
We know that some workers, quite a few workers, are only working a certain number of hours a week because they will lose their Medicaid health insurance, which is the only health insurance they can get and afford if they work more hours.
Kaylin Neustifter has seen this happen. She's the assistant director at Keemsie Castle Daycare in Oshkosh and says some of their staff have to limit their hours in order to stay on Badger Care.
That affects this, like the business in general, because you're having people who are like, sorry, I can only work 3 days a week because otherwise I'll go over the amount.
Neustifter makes too much to qualify for Badger Care and chooses to go without insurance except for family planning coverage. She and the center's director, Sierra Kramer, say lack of affordable health care is part of why they're having a hard time recruiting and keeping teachers.
Daycare, it's just not one of those things where you're getting like crazy high wages anyways. So it's already kind of like
hard to believe that we wouldn't qualify or
we'd have to make even less.
Wisconsin is one of 10 states that haven't accepted federal money to expand Medicaid. If it did, those earning up to 138% of the federal poverty level could get Badger Care. Some say that would allow caregivers to work more without worrying about losing their health insurance. Democratic Governor Tony Evers has proposed expanding Medicaid, but Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says it's a non-starter. He says people at or under the federal poverty rate can already get coverage through Medicaid, which isn't the case in other states. Robin Rudowitz directs the Kaiser Family Foundation's program on Medicaid and the uninsured. She says many people who make too much for Badger Care should qualify for subsidized plans through the marketplace.
Many individuals in that income band are eligible for comprehensive coverage with zero premium, but there may be some additional out-of-pocket costs that could be different than Medicaid coverage.
But Rudowitz says there can be barriers, and data shows 35% of uninsured people nationwide are eligible for those subsidized plans. Caitlin Neustifter in Oshkosh has looked into the marketplace, but says the process was too chaotic.
Felt like I was getting stuff sent to me from all different places, so then I was like, I'm just going to back off on that. I don't need it right now. That's fine. I also just don't go to the, I guess I don't really go to the doctor unless I feel something is super necessary, and I'm pretty lucky, like, on health.
WPR also spoke with caregivers who say marketplace plans work well for their needs. Still, they say people in these industries deserve better options, and that will be on their minds as they decide who to vote for this year. Bridget Bowden, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This election year, WPR is focused on learning what Wisconsinites want to hear from candidates. Tell us what issue is most impacting you and your community at WPR.org/election2024. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Big thanks to WPR's Bridget Bowden for that story, and thanks to you for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. As always, we'll be in that podcast feed whenever you want us, bright and early every single morning, so hit subscribe, we'll show up automatically, and send us your feedback. We would love to hear from you about what you like about the show and what we could be doing better. Email us at newscasts@WPR.org, or just leave a comment in the Apple Podcast section. We'll find it, don't worry. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.